Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And right now we have Peter King here on the Dial Pad guest line. Peter is also brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit Friedman'sAppliance.com today. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, good to have you on once again. So, big impressive win by the 49ers. What'd you think of last night?
You know, I thought there were three really interesting parts of this game. Number one, that we've been trying to bury the running game in the NFL for, 15 years or whatever. It seems like everybody minimizes the importance of the running game and says, we'll figure that out. We need to get a great quarterback. But look at what happened this weekend in the NFL. Look at what the Raiders did with Josh Jacobs. You know, look at what the 49ers did, with that offensive line and with Breida and Coleman. Look at what Christian McCaffrey is doing. And, you know, I look at all these things and I just say, and the Indianapolis Colts going to Kansas City and winning with a running game and not the passing game of Frank Reich. And I think what basically has happened and is in the process of happening is that teams have sold out so much to get to the quarterback and are so consumed with the edge rushing part of defense that they're forgetting to say, as the Kansas City Chiefs have totally forgotten, averaging 5.3 yards per opponent rush. In that way, they won't make it out of the divisional round. They'll never make it to face the Patriots. But having said all that, I think that was really impressive by the Niners last night, running for over 200 yards and running the ball consistently, not just on the first snap by Matt Breida. The second thing is, obviously, if Bosa stays healthy, he's going to be a great player for a long time. The first thing is very important. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy. But if he does, that is going to turn out to be a great draft choice because they have basically done a really good job spending a lot of draft, trade, and free agency capital in building that defensive front. And I think finally, I think we saw the value of being patient. Not that anybody after 2 years and quarterback injuries was ever going to fire the head coach and get rid of John Lynch in the front office. But essentially, in giving those guys the 6-year contract with no offset, meaning that if they walk away, Jed York's just got to write him a check, for all of the rest of the contract, regardless of where they work after that in the NFL. I mean, that was a tremendous commitment by Jed York. Obviously, he stuck to it. And now you're seeing the fruit of it because Kyle Shanahan, right now is a top 5 NFL play designer and play caller. So there's not a lot of bad news for the 49ers right now.
The fact that you now are now seeing the fruits of a number of coaches who are counterpunching against the edge rusher, can you look back and see when this happened? Did it happen at the start of this season after
Yes.
a full summer of offensive coordinators making adjustments? Or did you see signs of it at the tail end of last?
Well, Ray, that's a great, great question. And I'll tell you, this after the game on Sunday night and after watching football over the weekend, I had a conversation with Frank Reich around midnight Eastern, maybe 40 minutes after their game. And he reminded me of something that he said when he took this job, and that was, I want to have a top 5 running game. And that was a little bit unexpected at the time, because when you have Andrew Luck, you know, unless you're going to score 40 points every game, it's going to be hard to have a top five running game because you're going to rely on one of the best young quarterbacks in football. So Andrew Luck, his first year, throws for 4,500, and he throws 39 touchdown passes. And the Indianapolis Colts are 20th in the NFL in running the football. So I just sort of said, well, you know, hey, you have Andrew Luck, and, you know, you want to be competent running the ball, but let's not be silly. You got to put the ball in the hands of Andrew Luck. But in training camp again this year, that's what Frank Reich was saying. And then 15 days before the start of the season, when Andrew Luck retires, now he has a chance to basically put his play calling where his mouth is. And that's exactly what he's done. They have the number five. You know, he said, I want to be in the top five. I want to be a top five NFL running game. And this year, right now, after 5 weeks, they are fifth in the NFL in rushing yards. And that, Frank Reich believes, is so important because it plays to the strength of his team, which is a massive offensive line. And I don't want to kill this thing by going over to the Raiders, but you know what the Raiders have done too? Mike Mayock did this when he got Trent Brown, and they moved Colton Miller over to the other side, and they basically said, we are going to draft what we consider to be a franchise back in Josh Jacobs. And when we do that, we're not drafting him to run it 14 times a game. We're drafting him to run it 23 times a game, whatever it ends up being. Josh Jacobs had one 20-carry game as a collegian at Alabama. One. He had one. He rushed the ball 20 times once at Alabama. And now the first game with the Raiders, he rushed it 23 times, and Sunday he rushed it 26 times. I don't know long-term if he's going to prove that he can do it, but Ray, I guess my whole point about running the ball is if you have a strong move the pile, and I emphasize that, a very strong move the pile offensive line, why would you allow Floyd and Mack and all of those guys on the Bears to come in and try to dominate you by throwing the ball 48 times in the game? And I think that's a smart move by John Gruden. It's a smart move by Kyle Shanahan, smart move by Frank Reich. And I think a lot of the coaches in this league are saying, okay, if you want to load up with those great edge rushers, we'll show you. We are going to pound the ball, and that's how we're going to win these games, and that's how we're going to keep the ball away from your offense.
So, Peter, who had a better game last night against Myles Garrett, Justin School or Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan, because he designed it. He's the one who figured it out. And I'm not saying in any way, because I don't believe it's true. Did you see what John Gruden did in that game, in London? He basically had Derek Carr throwing the ball very, very quickly. Derek Carr, in all his pass drops, was sacked zero times and hit hard once, and that was by Khalil Mack. And he was never, ever under fire by what I consider to be an excellent NFL defense. And so, look, I'm sure Shanahan did not base anything off anything other than what he saw, but he knew you can't let Myles Garrett wreck this game. And so that's what he did. He just said, we are going to both, A, run at Myles Garrett when need be. They did it on the first play of the game. And then secondly, they're going to get rid of the ball very, very quickly. That's exactly how they play the game.
And obviously Kyle Shanahan getting a ton of credit for the run game, not just because of what we've seen this year, but because it has seemed throughout his tenure that almost no matter who is involved, whether offensive linemen are hurt, whether running backs are hurt, he can get production out of the run game. Are we about to see that put to the test now that Kyle Juszczyk is hurt?
That's a great question. That's a big injury. And look, all of the big contenders in the NFL, I would say, have had major, major injuries. I'd say probably all but the Patriots. But you look at the Chiefs now, they're without Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Eric Fisher. I mean, those are three of their most important 10 players. Maybe most important seven or eight players. And now, you know, the 49ers not only having to go without probably for another month, Joe Staley. But now for that same period of time, having to go without Kyle Juszczyk. So I would be concerned, especially going into a game where you're going to face Aaron Donald and where you're going to face a team that this is an absolute total must win. If I had even thought that there was a chance after week six that the Rams would be three games behind the 49ers in the loss column, that's an utter shock. You know, we're not even through the league championship series yet, and the 49ers could be three games ahead in the loss column of the Rams. It's absolutely crazy, but that's what the Rams are going to deal with this weekend, and that's why I'll tell you, this is going to be a real, real challenge. And also, Rams are going to have 10 days of rest before this game, and the Niners are working on a short week going on the road, so not a great set of circumstances for the Niners on Sunday in L.A.
But, oh, what an opportunity awaits them. It really is something else. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Getting back to last night's game at Levi's Stadium, I am watching Baker Mayfield getting a whole bunch of passes tipped at the line of scrimmage. I'm looking at a wide receiver as established as Odell Beckham Jr. catch two balls 2 weeks in a row. Also knowing how volatile he is or was in New York, is there a ticking time bomb about to blow up in Freddie Kitchens' locker room?
You know, if Odell Beckham Jr. Has a couple more weeks like that, he's going to get pissed off. His history says, if you don't throw the ball to me, I will get pissed off. Now, I will say this. He never had his best friend and kind of a bit of his mentor, Jarvis Landry. He never had that with the Giants. So he's got that now. We'll see how it works and if it does work. But my money is on Odell blowing a gasket if he keeps on getting, and I'm sure he feels like he's being underused. That would be one thing. But, you know, I think also, you know, Baker Mayfield, I think that, look, Cleveland's offensive line is, I don't want to say they're in tatters, but it's not a good offensive line. And if I am Freddie Kitchens, I got to put my arm around Baker Mayfield or have him in and lock the door in the office and just sit across the desk from him here in the next day or two and just say, you know, can you please just play football and not be a lightning rod all the time? Can you, when somebody wants to shake your hand, and I don't know, I've seen both sides of this. I don't know whether he shook his hand or didn't, and I don't particularly care. But you know, could you, Baker Mayfield, could you just simply stop being a lightning rod? And can we be a football team so we can worry about one thing, which is the only thing with Seattle and New England on the schedule in the next two games, knowing that there's a chance we could enter the second half of the season after the bye at 2-5. Can we please just not be concerned with all this crap that seems to envelop you and engulf you at all times? So I don't know whether that'll happen, but it should happen. If you're Freddie Kitchens, you've got to try to head this off at the pass.
You've been doing this for upwards probably of 40 years, I'm going to guess. But I'm going to see if you really do love football. You have only three games to watch, but you must watch them in their entirety. Redskins, Dolphins in the 1 o'clock window. Falcons, Cardinals in the 4 o'clock window. Steelers, Chargers in the 8:30 window. Would you quit your job?
I'm sitting on the little deck in Brooklyn. I live in Brooklyn. And I'm sitting on the sixth floor of this deck. There's a nice little, cold, you know, Indian summer evening in New York right now. And if you made me do that, I think I would sit out here throughout that entire day, even if there was a blizzard. So the answer is no, I would not do that. In fact, the only thing I would do there is I am totally fascinated by everything that Kyler Murray does. And he's such an interesting, different player. I'm actually going to watch a good chunk of that game because I'm totally fascinated with him. And I haven't seen enough of Kyler Murray. But, Ray, no, I'm not going to watch those other two games. You could take my football writer's card if you'd like, but those will not be on my agenda.
Coward.
Yeah, that's me.
I will join you in not watching those games, Peter, and I respect you for it. I asked the guys this actually during a commercial break a little earlier. Is George Kittle a top 20 player in football?
I mean, it's hard to eliminate that many quarterbacks from the conversation to put a tight end in there.
I would not label him a top 20 player in football because of the importance of the quarterback position.
Sure.
You know, if you forced me to pick the 20 most important players in football, there's a good chance that 16 of them would be quarterbacks, or I don't know what number. But there wouldn't be a lot of them that wouldn't be quarterbacks, and George Kittle would not make the next four or five. But do I think right now he's the most dangerous all-around tight end in football? Yes. Absolutely yes. And that is to say I've got tremendous respect for Zach Ertz. And I think that Zach Ertz is tremendous, 116 or whatever catches last year, a total absolute security blanket for Carson Wentz. But I just love everything about Kittle. Even as great a year as Ertz had last year, he'd probably hate me for saying this because we got a good relationship. I voted Kittle for All-Pro in the NFL. I just thought in the environment that he had last year, in everything that was against him last year, I just thought he was an absolute force at tight end. I really like him. And I just think right now, especially with the questions that the 49ers have in their receiving core, they're so fortunate to have him. Although, I will say this. You know, I thought Jimmy Garoppolo made two or three really, really good throws last night, the best of which you would never even think was the best of it. But when he threw the little cross to Marquise Goodwin on the left sideline, right in front of the Cleveland bench, maybe it was late second quarter, just a beautiful, threaded, just laid right in there, and he ran out of bounds, and it was a beautiful touch pass. You don't have to throw the ball 40 yards in the air to make a great pass. And I think Garoppolo threw a couple of good ones. One of them was a touchdown pass to Kittle, in fact, but his best throw of the night, strangely, was a fairly short one on an intermediate cross to Marquise Goodwin.
Made a heck of a throw to Dante Pettis that got dropped, too.
He did. Yeah.
You saw a little frustration in that moment as well. Peter, I want to get back to Nick Bosa, who I do think is going to play himself into that all-pro position at DN in his rookie year, almost like Quentin Nelson showed up as among the best guards, if not the best, with the Indianapolis Colts. Who would we say right now is head and shoulders above Nick Bosa as an edge rusher in football right now? And this guy's only played four games, but definitively this guy's better than Nick Bosa. Who would that be?
Well, I mean, look, I am not one who's going to crown anybody after four games, and especially because, you know, Nick Bosa last night really was not playing against the best competition. You know, I still think on a given day, Von Miller is an absolute killer. And again, you don't want to say too much about Shaq Barrett yet, but until Sunday, his first four games of the year were more impactful than Bosa's first four games of the year have been. And I'm not saying I'd take Shaq Barrett over Bosa, but what I am saying is you have to be careful of a small sample size.
Sure.
So I'm not, I sort of don't look at it that way. I got to a little pissing thing on Twitter today because we have all these people saying that Baker Mayfield is a bust or whatever they're saying. They're just killing him. I said, can we please not take you know, a young quarterback's temperature after his 18th NFL start and decide whether he's going to make it or not make it. You don't know that. Let's look up the stats for John Elway and Brett Favre and I don't even know who else. And let's look at for Joe Montana after 18 games. And I just think it's, we want an answer now about everybody. And I am totally bullish on Bosa. I'm not trying to minimize what he's doing, but I'm also saying, you know, let's give it time. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's the best edge rusher in football. In the first month of the season, there haven't been many better, if any, but, you know, he's got to do it for a while.
Right. He's still not Khalil Mack. He's still not quite,
right.
Miles Garrett, Miles even. Garrett. I mean, he rough game last night, but still unbelievable talent. Peter, want to wrap up with what the Washington Redskins are and who they want to be. Jay Gruden, I think, is a guy who just kind of got a raw deal, was never set up in a good situation. If I'm Dwayne Haskins, I don't even want to know if I want to get thrown in there now. How do the Redskins get out of this?
I mean, they have to change their front office structure right now. And again, I'm going to say something that really sounds almost like this would be in a junior high school paper, okay? But I just found it absolutely bizarre. Three things. Number one, Daniel Snyder does not come out and address anything about firing a coach. In the statement that Washington had at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was, they didn't even thank Jay Gruden for the 6 years. They said nothing. Hey, thanks to Coach Gruden for his years of service. Nothing like that. It was an absolutely Bush League firing. In some ways, it was euthanasia, but it was just done in a Bush League way. Number two, Bruce Allen comes out this is not like you're coming out to fire the head coach at Berkeley or in Palo Alto. Bruce Allen came out in a white polo and spoke for 13 minutes and talked about what a great franchise this was. Okay, it looked like he was squeezing this in before he was going out to play 18 and had a tee time at 2 o'clock. And, I mean, to say that, oh, we got a damn good culture and we're a lot better than people think. And again, no, hey, we'd like to thank Coach Gruden. That's number two. Number three, how about Bill Callahan walking out in a long-sleeve coach's T-shirt, essentially? What they sit there and watch film in, you know, click back and forth. Here's the new Washington head coach's introduction to the nation's capital. It's going to be on all the evening news. Here he comes. Here he is. And he looks like he just got off the elliptical at Equinox for 20 minutes. And here I am. Yeah, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go back and brush some tape. This is a Bush League organization. It just is. But the following thing just really, I think, encapsulates what's wrong with this team and this organization and this front office. All these teams in the NFL hungry for a left tackle. They want a left tackle so bad. And they're calling Washington in the month of August saying, hey, listen, you know, we want to talk to you about Trent Williams. Nope, don't want to talk to you. So then the market for Trent Williams totally dries up. Right? Nobody now is going to pay maximum for Trent Williams, who, by the way, is 31 years old and he's missed 15 games in the last 4 years due to injury. Who's going to pay a boatload for him? I'll tell you, would have, and I know this for a fact, that Bill O'Brien of the Houston Texans would have paid a ransom to get Trent Williams, but he couldn't get engaged by anybody from Washington. So now he'll sit on the sidelines. He's out in a contract dispute, out because he's angry at the medical treatment by the organization. So instead of having something to show for that, Washington will have absolutely nothing other than the angriest player in the NFL at their team.
There you
and
go.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is your Washington. I'm not even going to say their name because I don't say it, because it's a slur.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Ray Ratto, I thought...
I was more upset that he said they were my Washington.
Right, yeah.
I have nothing to do with that.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, look, Peter, Ray wrote for Deadspin a pretty good opus about the tearing down of Sports Illustrated. It was followed up the next day talking about how, you know, corporate structure is just killing journalism. As one of the most preeminent sports journalists out there, your thoughts on Sports Illustrated?
I'm just immensely sad. Some of my best friends are still there. And, you know, I just know that this new structure that they're trying to do is going to make Sports Illustrated, I'm not saying it's going to make Sports Illustrated such a lesser place, but Sports Illustrated's mission has never been to, you know, have a correspondent at 300 college and pro and whatever teams. You know, that is, and again, look, maybe that's what has to be done to save the franchise. Maybe it is. Sports Illustrated has always been special. It's been unique. It's been Rick Riley. It's been Frank DeFord. It's been Tim Layden. It's been Bill Knack. It's been these guys who you read a story,
Dr. Z,
column, and you think of it for the next week. I mean, I called Rick Riley the other day and asked him to write the back page column for my column, Football Morning in America, on Monday, because I said that's the best way I can think to either both pay tribute to the vanishing SI and to let people hear your voice and to see what great writing is like on the back page. And he wrote it. He was thrilled to do it. I can say that. Absolutely thrilled to do it. And he wrote it. And I got so much reaction. Man, you really remind us of what we're missing. And again, I don't want this to come off like, you know, I don't love Grant Wall. I love Grant Wall. Or like I don't love, Robert Klemko and Jenny Varentis and Greg Bishop and those people who are still there and who are going to be very good. I just fear without editing, without being, you know, basically the conscience of sports, because so much of that has disappeared now. So many teams, so many media entities, so many networks are in bed with so many people, in so many leagues. And SI isn't. And I'm just praying that it can keep its identity. I have my doubts, but I'm praying that it can.
Peter, thank you very much. Why don't you go back to that nice little patio you got there in Brooklyn and just enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.